Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to get involved with our clutter. Oh, my God. Clutter. We all got clutter somewhere. Somehow in our life, there's clutter. And some people have it a lot more than others. And what do we do about it? How do we deal with all this clutter in our lives? Clutter of things, even clutter of people. Even other kinds of clutter that we're going to talk about. How many different kinds of clutter are there? Oh my gosh. And to help us understand that and to help us solve some of this clutter problem is a professional clutter buster. And he's written a book called Clutter Busting Your Life. And that's Brooks Palmer. Brooks, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, Peter. It's good to be here.
Oh, good. And I love your book. It's so much, it's so juicy.
Yeah. What part did you like about it?
Well, so many different ways that we don't understand how we clutter our lives and how we use clutter. And see, your book is not just about getting rid of clutter. You've already done that. You had a previous book about getting rid of clutter. This is about how to deal with dealing with clutter. In other words, the emotions around clutter. Why, and I'm sure that's happened to you professionally where you can help people, but then you're bumping into all kinds of family craziness and people's troubles and everything that goes with the clutter.
Yeah, it's like a landmine you don't see. It's an emotional landmine, you know. And it's hard because the people I'm working with don't see it in the moment. And it's very overwhelming for them, so they'd rather not do anything about it. But I found some really subtle ways and simple ways of noticing and taking care of it that have helped people get through it. You know, and my definition of clutter is anything in your life that's no longer serving you. So sometimes these emotional entanglements that come up, they're not serving the person, but it's hard to deal with it too. And so slowing things down and asking some really good questions, I found that it makes it much simpler.
And our own emotions are clutter also, not just
the
emotions of others.
Yeah, they can be. I mean, it's overwhelming. And when we get overwhelmed, we're not functioning that well. You know, it's hard, and it's easier to run the other way. You know, but whatever you run from tends to follow you. So.
You also talk about how we're programmed by TV to bring more and more clutter into our lives.
Yeah, TV, any kind of advertising, stuff on the internet or billboards or magazines, newspapers, we're constantly told that we need something to be better. You know, that there's something wrong with us. Because they always show an actor who has a problem, and then within a few seconds they're, after being delivered the product, whatever it is, you know, there's this intense happiness. So we're conditioned to think that we need things, that something's wrong with us, we need things to feel better, and we need a constant influx of things to feel better. The problem is, it's like, we can't stop that because that's marketing, that's always going to be there. But we're not taught to go the other way, which is to remove things that are no longer serving us. And that helps break that hypnosis that was created by the first situation, you know, by questioning the things in our environment or the things that we do or the people that we associate with and ask, like, is this nurturing me? Is this making me feel better right now, you know, or not? And learning that it's okay to question something and to notice that it doesn't serve us and to let it go, because there's a lot of freedom that comes from that. Much like a freedom that you can't get from anything.
Well, sometimes
it doesn't mean you'll strip yourself of everything that you own, but you'll enjoy the things that you love, and you'll have a peace of mind at the same time.
Sometimes when we buy things, and we think we're doing great, and it might cost a lot of money, and then after a short time it becomes clutter, it doesn't serve us, but we might be too emotionally avoiding shame. We might, you know, we don't want to think, oh, I really spent all this money and now I'm not even interested in it. I don't even want to know about it, so I'll hide it somewhere.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I'll find something in someone's house, you know. I'll say, do you like this anymore? I go, no, I don't. Can we let it go? I can't. Why? Well, I spent, and then they'll tell me how much they spend on it, you know, $1,000, $3,000, whatever. And so I'll say, so you want to hang on to it and feel badly every time you see it, you know. It is embarrassing, but I'll tell you, it's like a person's peace of mind is much more valuable than that thing, you know. There's nothing more valuable than feeling that peace of mind. So, you know, I keep asking questions. Well, let's put it out so you can see it. And the more they actually look at it and think about it, the more it becomes obvious that, yeah, this I need to let this go.
Yes, and it takes time. It, you know, we have to kind of free ourselves in certain ways. And I like your approach because you keep things simple. You're a peaceful guy. And you do a lot of clutter busting for a lot of people. And so you're in homes very often where there are all these landmines around, especially if you're working with two people at the same time.
Yeah.
And
that happens a lot. And in the book, I call it emotional tornadoes. It's like I'm working with this couple. Everything's going really well. And then one little item comes up. And there's this intensity that all of a sudden, like, the room catches fire emotionally. And they get angry at each other, you know. Or you can feel the tension between the two of them. It's just there was a connection, and now it's gone. And I had that with one couple. They were arguing over this rug that was underneath their bed. I talk about it in the book. It was underneath their bed. And so they're arguing back and forth about it. Like he was saying, you know, this belonged to my family. And she says, your family has been really mean to me. And they were just screaming at each other, you know, back and forth about how, you know, how they're treating each other. And so they had rabbits that were walking around. They had like two rabbits that were walking around the floor. They had a concrete floor, you know. And so one of the rabbits went under the bed. So I curiously looked under the bed, and I noticed that the rabbits had been peeing on the carpet. I mean, the carpet was soaked in rabbit pee and rabbit little pellets, you know, those little poops. And it was smelled horrible. But they didn't notice it, you know. It had been like that for a long time, I imagine, because it was pretty soaked. And but they had been so angry and mean at each other for quite a while that their anger was keeping them from noticing what was going on in their environment. And so I told them to stop yelling at each other and to check out the carpet. And they were stunned, you know. And I said, when you guys are arguing with each other like that, it's like you're punching each other in the heart, you know, from a close distance. And neither of you feels better, you just feel worse. And it's not serving you, but you feel like you need to do it. And so I want to point this out, that this is what's happening, you know. And so we had to throw the carpet out, and you cut it up in pieces and throw it out. And it was very sobering for them, you know. They stopped their screaming match.
It seems to me, though, that a lot of people use clutter in relationships.
Yeah, people can use clutter.
And
you know, it's like it's when they're not when the communication between two people is gone, then often clutter comes up as armor. You know, it's like something to hide behind. And so then you know, the one person feels protected by hiding behind something, and then the other person feels a loss because they don't have that connection with that person anymore. And it's like it's a mini war. And so it helps to really slow things down. I mean, I had a couple that were fighting about this one client, he wanted to keep this bottles of wine in a liquor cabinet in their home. And they were both alcoholic, and they were trying not to drink. But they wanted to drink, and he wanted to hang on to them. And so she was, like, arguing how unsafe she felt that he was holding on to this. And I helped them hear each other so that that he could realize that she was feeling hurt from this, and he was keeping her at a distance. And she could feel that he was feeling scared and was wanted to protect himself, and they resolved to let it go, you know. But it helped by repeating back what each of them was saying to each other, you know, and unravel it, because if you lose that connection with somebody, then it's rather painful to live with someone and not speak with them emotionally.
Well, from reading your book, I see that you've helped a lot of relationships. People, what I was looking at was people use clutter for control mechanisms. They or even to represent their anger. They'll stick something in someone's face and leave it there and say, "I want that there," and the other person says, "That's clutter," and they won't change because they need to express. That's a way of expressing their unhappiness, and you show up. And what I like is that so many times in the book, you working with couples, you help them understand their priorities.
Yeah.
And
well,
so,
yeah, I pointed out to one couple that they were arguing over these fishing bobbers, those things that float the fishing line in the water, and the guy had a collection of like over 1,000 or something, and she hated that he had them and kept trying to throw them out, and he kept getting more. And so I said, "How long have you been arguing about this?" And they said, "Over 15 years, you know." And I said, "Well, it's obvious neither of you are going to change, but it's really hurting the relationship by this constant arguing. And the relationship is a thing just as much as these fishing bobbers. And so it helps to recognize that, because you obviously care about the relationship. You're still together." And so they were really, that really quieted them up. You know, they saw, because she was trying to control him and he was trying to control her. But that whole thing of control, it comes from this feeling that if I can control the other person, I can prevent them from hurting me, if I can make them do what I want them to do. But then people hate to be controlled, and it destroys the connection. And deep down, it's all because we're really sensitive creatures. You know, we can be hurt emotionally or physically. We can get sick, or somebody can die, and we could lose something that's close to us and really hurt. And we're well aware of that, and so we build these things up around us like a false armor to protect us from being hurt. But then it also cuts off our feeling of love and connection. So I just find that if people start to strip away these things, whether it's the false armor or the control or whatever, as they let go of this clutter, they really get their life back.
It's
worth the effort, you know.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I'm listening to you and your voice and picturing you in these environments, and it feels like you have your voice is in equilibrium. There's a nature about it that makes people listen to you and go, okay, you know, there's a calmness too. And so then you help people think and listen, and then you ask very good questions about what matters. And then you help people get to the core of their confusion and straighten things out. And many times, apparently, the answer is some sort of a compromise, where, like, this guy had 1,000 fishing bobbers. Well, maybe, you know, if he could pick his best 50 and put him in a space that is reasonable, it might work. And you showed that there was another person who was collecting, I forget what it was, but there were about 100 of them. And
oh, they're shopping bags.
Shopping bags, right. And you said, "Well, how many of these do you really need?" There were 100 shopping bags. And she said, 5.
Yeah, and her husband thought she didn't need any, and he was attacking her for holding on to them. And anyway, I said, "This is a way to talk to your wife, you know, to ask her what she needs, what would help her out," rather than attack. Because I think we're used to attacking, you know, to get our way. And, you know, we see that in the world all the time with wars or with political fighting, you know, or there's this kind of a nastiness that's used to force change, but it really doesn't work very well, you know.
Right.
You have to blow up somebody to win, you know. It doesn't. Where's the victory in that?
And then you show up, and there's this peaceful nature that helps people find their peace. I want to ask you about teenagers, and I have a son who is now an adult, but as he was growing up, his room was always like a tornado. But not only that, but he would bring food into his room and let it sit for a few days and, you know, eventually come out with, you know, 5 or 6 different bowls and plates that were left with leftovers from a number of meals. So all kinds of ways, and we'd be on his case, you know, we're going to get cockroaches, we're going to get rats, we're going to, you know, all these different reasons to at least keep it clean. And the neatness was almost like, well, I guess we'd rather have it hygienic than neat. But, you know, what happened eventually was that he grew into becoming a neat person, but it took years, and we weren't, you know, we could be, you know, real vigilantes and constantly attacking and be very regimented about it, but that doesn't really work either in the long run. So what have you seen in that regard?
Well, what helps is listening, you know. It's, I think deep down people want to be heard. So if they feel they're not being heard, then they're going to feel hurt, and they're going to do things that hurt you, you know.
Well, as a teenager, they just don't have their act together.
Yeah, there's that. That's happening too, but nobody wants to feel like they're doing something wrong, you know, or that they're making mistakes, or people often fold under blame. You know, you're doing something wrong. This is wrong, and a lot of times the person is feeling something they don't even understand, and especially a teenager, because there's so much change going on inside of them, they can't even relate to it. You know, all these different hormones and the physiology, and the physiology changing at rapid rates, it's just the whole world has been undermined for them.
And a lot of times they don't even want to hear from their parents anyway.
Yeah, and they're naturally becoming independent, because they have to. They were genetically predisposed to, as we're growing up, to want independence from our parents so we can take care of ourselves in the world. So it's way too much. It's way too much for a person. But they can't communicate that. It's really hard. So oftentimes things will happen that seem offensive, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, why is this person doing this? And they may not know, or they may know partially. But a lot of times I think people want to be heard. And so approaching the situation like, well, what's going on? What's going on for you, you know?
Right, and yet the kids don't want to talk to their parents, so maybe they need a clutter buster to show up.
Yeah, maybe that's it, you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's a way of talking that's, like, thinking, like, how can I talk to my kid differently?
Well, we parents try everything.
Yeah, and maybe they do, and maybe there isn't a solution. And I talk about that in the book, because when I did my first book, I did a book tour, and people oftentimes would come there and ask. They'd say, like, you know, my brother has so much clutter. I hate going to his house. What can I tell him to get rid of his clutter? And I'd say, nothing. There's nothing you can say, you know? Because if a person isn't willing to change or be open,
right,
then you can't do anything, you know? And then it becomes your clutter. I would tell people that.
That's
know?
True. Yes, you do. And that's very important, is that it's our own, the way we clutter ourselves, about clutter or about everything that we can give ourselves trouble about. And you talk about that's a lot of why we actually create clutter in our lives. I know that when I look around my house and it's cluttered when it's at its worst, and I look around and I know that I must not be in a good frame of mind, because when I'm in a good frame of mind, I don't like to live with that kind of environment. So when it's not good, I know that there's something about me that's not feeling great.
Yeah. And that's a kind way of looking at it rather than what am I doing wrong or something. And sometimes I the same thing happens to me, and sometimes I need to take a break or, you know, do something different. And it really changes the situation, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes, a lot of times, perhaps all the time, getting rid of clutter creates freedom and space that we actually need to grow and to heal and to create new.
Yeah, I wrote the books because I really, after working with a lot of people, I just found it's really helpful to question what's in your environment. And so I provide a lot of different examples. And so hopefully people will either follow those examples or they'll come up with ones on their own, whatever happens. But it's the encouragement to take a look and say, okay, I'm trying to force something that's not working anymore. I feel uncomfortable. What do I need? What's going on? Like you said.
Right. And there's so many reasons to feel uncomfortable about things and ourselves. And you give opportunities. I like some of the exercises you have in your book about working with ourselves. There's one part that's kind of interesting is writing a list of your peculiarities that you really like.
Yeah.
That other people miss. And what are they missing about you? That's kind of interesting. I don't know how easy that is to write, but I like that a lot. I also like the exercise of sitting at tea, having tea with a being that represents your fear. So you're sitting opposite your fear, having a conversation with it over tea.
And yeah,
that's very helpful.
It helps to take a different way of looking at what's going on, and it does illuminate. You know, it illuminates our feelings so that we have a chance to see them rather than their feelings scrambled or blurry to us.
Yeah, ask our fear what it's troubled by, why it's troubled by what it's troubled by, and so also you have so many examples of how we get stuck with clutter. For instance, clutter that we inherit.
Oh yeah, that's very common. I'll work with somebody who a relative died, or one of their parents died, and they get all this stuff because the parents, you know, all their stuff is transferred to the kids, and so the kids get their furniture, get all their books, their papers, their clothes. And so here's this the son or daughter, you know, they're feeling grief because of the loss of their parent, and so they're overwhelmed from that, and then they get all this stuff on top of it, and because they're feeling grief and overwhelmed, they don't have the capacity to make decisions about it, and they feel like if they get rid of the stuff, they're getting rid of the parent, and it's a very messy thing, and so they're living with all this extra stuff in their life, and they start to resent their relative or parent on some level because they don't want the stuff, you know.
Right, and that it's also true for gifts that we get from people. And they give
yeah.
us this special thing to put up on our wall, and we hate it.
Oh, my God, you wouldn't believe the amount of people I work for that I'll say, you know, well, what about this thing? Do you like this? No, I don't. Can we let it go? I can't. Why? Because my sister gave it to me, you know. And what if she comes over and asks where it is, you know?
Right.
So I said, well, you're going to live with this thing you don't like because you're feeling afraid of when that person comes over, they're going to get angry, you know? And so it's hard for them, but I tell them, you know, it's their house. So they get to decide whatever stays or goes, you know?
Yeah, but we all have different priorities And same thing about some people are bolder about confronting others. And
well, yeah, there's ways around that. I mean, you know, I'll tell them, you know, you can give it away to charity. You don't have to tell the person you didn't like it. You know, there's some situations where you can't really, I don't like this, you know.
Yeah.
And then there are situations where, you know, I really appreciate this gift, but it's not for me, and I'm wondering, would you be okay if I donated it or, you know. But, you know, there's that option of, like, just give it to charity. Chances are the person will never ask about it. it's pretty rare. And if they did ask about it, you could say, I had it for a while and I decided it was time to give it away. And if the person gets upset, then you can talk with them about that, you know.
Yeah, interesting.
But the main thing is not living with stuff you don't like.
Right.
Because it's really hard on us to have things in our house that we really dislike, but we have to hang on to. We tell ourselves we have to hang on to because, you know, this person might be upset at us
and
for getting rid of it.
And
so then we end up not liking that person as much. It creates a wall in the connection.
We avoid them, actually. we want to stay away from them.
It's a horrible way to live.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, we're trained to live that way because we're taught, well, gifts are, like, really important. If someone gives you a gift, you have to keep it. And it's a precious thing.
Yeah, my wife and I are very different that way. She's very nice to everybody and appreciative of everything. And I just can't, somehow, even if I fake it, and, you know, if I don't like something and I fake it, no one buys it anyway. I mean, they just realize that I'm not happy.
Yeah. So it's a real jump to go from, like, to hanging on to something and then actually going, I don't want this, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, I've told some people that, you know, thank you very much, but I'm sorry that I don't really want this, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
It feels like it's going to be weird, but there's some real honesty if you do it in a nice way.
Well, we only have a few minutes left, and I want to take what you just said, and what I'm inspired by from the book is also learning how to recognize what we need to feel in ourselves when we look around our house and our lives, and to identify the clutter. How do we actually see things that we were blind to before?
Well, encourage people to work in small amounts. Like, you know, let's say I'm just going to go through the clothes in my closet today or for this moment. And then holding out one piece of clothing at a time, like holding it in your hand, kind of puts a frame around it so everything else disappears. And you look at it and you go, do I still like this shirt? You know, would I buy it if I was in a store today? Would I wear it if I was going to go out tonight? And you're asking to see whether you like it, how it feels right now to you. There's all these memories of anything in your house, of when you bought it. Everything in your life at one point meant something to you. But maybe it doesn't anymore. So you're questioning to really find out. And it helps to look at just one thing at a time.
I always look for a time, and each time I clear clutter out, I'm always looking for a time in my life where I'm just fed up and I've had enough of whatever. And I just feel ready to attack things that another time I might not be willing to attack.
Yeah, that's a great approach. You're ready. You're feeling raw.
Yeah.
It's like you're uncomfortable.
Exactly.
It's like you're in pain in some kind of way, so you want to feel better.
Right. And so I'm out to feel better, and nothing's in my way, including all this clutter. I'm going to take care of it.
Yeah. Well, when people call me, that's how they're feeling.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm used to working with people that way.
Good.
But I figure anybody that's going to buy the book or someone is listening to the show right now about this, there's a feeling in them that something feels wrong about my living space, you know, about my life, and it doesn't feel good. And I want to change that. And that's the inspiration.
Now,
so
where
you're looking for your stuff for that reason.
And where do they go? They go to, for one thing, they buy the book, Clutter Busting Your Life. Your name is Brooks Palmer. And where on the internet can they find you?
Clutterbusting, like with an ING, .com.
Clutterbusting.com. And this is so wonderful to tackle this with you. And I really appreciated your it feels so much like you're the right guy for the job. You've had so much experience, and your temperament, your clarity, and gentleness actually sounds wonderful for getting rid
Thanks.
Of clutter.
Thanks. Well, it's the best job I ever had. I really enjoy it.
I can imagine. And it's satisfying because you see yourself helping so many people.
Yeah, it feels really good when I'm driving home. I work on the phone, too, with people.
Oh, good.
So it feels good after getting off the phone. It's just...
Good.
Like, it feels better.
Brooks Palmer, thank you so much. What a joy talking with you.
Thanks, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HeartRiver.org, or 212-222-7748. Happy to talk with you, and thank you so much for listening.